football on off the ball.
So when you look at Kerry Football Club now and where we are, these are things that we've battled through for many, many years. These are obstacles that we've been willing to jump and willing to fight on through.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Nice tap, Barry. Yeah. Check that at Oasis.
Got it before Oasis. So long, I took it out for Oasis, though, found it back in the wardrobe.
You'd be going to Oasis every night if you could.
Absolutely. I went twice, yeah.
Fair play to you. Good to go twice. We were just talking about memorabilia stuff from football. Keith was showing off some of his jerseys. Are you a sentimentalist when it comes to football?
Ah, yeah. My favourite boots as well, the Adidas Adipure, you know, the Tony Cruz boots.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The white ones.
The white ones. The blue stripes. Yeah, you wore those as well.
He was the only ones that we had knockoff versions of, I think. But yeah, brilliant.
It's a good segue, actually. You mentioned boots there. So myself, Keith and Arthur were talking about favourite boots growing up. So we'll do boots first. We'll do gloves in a second. Keith asked you that. Very good question, the ad break. But Keith, I asked you this question yesterday. I was like, are you a boots man? And straight away you got back to me with these blue Nike boots here. So not these ones, actually. They're my ones.
I did like them F50s as well.
So these ones here, these blue Nike Vapors. This is about 2002, 3-ish?
Yeah.
Brazilian Ronaldo, I remember wearing these for Real Madrid.
Yeah, Ronaldo wore them, but Henri wore them as well. And I was obviously being an Arsenal fan, I looked at Henri and thought, I remember putting them on and thinking, they're so light, I'm so quick in these boots, it's unbelievable. And yeah, I absolutely loved them. And before I went to England, when I got to England at 15, I ended up being sponsored by Adidas, so they were the last Nike boots I wore, and they always stick in my head as, I wish I'd have been with Nike.
Yeah, that's a psychological thing, is when you wore the Vapors, you were faster.
Yeah.
When you wore the Peds, you had a better first touch. Yeah. It added 5% to your game. Yeah. I remember those Vapors, like, they were the world's most uncomfortable boot to wear.
The heel was real sticky.
Heel would heal you, but they were nice to wear.
It was all about the fashion, wasn't it? When you're young, it's about the fashion.
Ah, they were nice and light. Jojo put up another picture there. If you could put that up again there, Jojo. Yeah, nice. These are the F50s, right? These are the first ever F50s. Do you remember these?
Do you not prefer the black ones with the yellow?
The black and yellow. Joe Cole and Damien Duff at Chelsea. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't remember really anyone who wore those, right? I think the Euro 2004, they were big. But I got them. They're boots that I wore for ages, right? Impossible to clean.
Yeah.
The mud would get into the material, game over, but yeah, the black ones and the yellow stripe, they were the first, they were the originals. That was the second colour, and then they evolved into something totally different as the years went by. They lost their head, they lost their way.
They had a black and grey with an orange tick as well.
Black and grey with an orange.
They had loads of different spin-offs.
Yeah, I was like obsessed with boots, Barry. I know every player's boots at one point.
At Bowes, a fella came in selling Pele boots. Do you remember them? They were rock solid sole on it. There was no bending it at all. Like, it was the weirdest thing. He was also selling apartments in Bulgaria, this fella. But a few lads bought them, but yeah, they were nice boots.
Was it a good investment, though,
which your parents so I'm working here now.
We had a fella at Blackburn called Keith Barker. And
Keith Barker,
he went on to play cricket for one of the counties, might have been Lancashire or whatever in England, but he wasn't too good at football. But he ended up being he was sponsored by Pony. Do you remember the boots, Pony?
Yeah, yeah.
He turned up with them boots one day, and my God, he got absolutely crucified. And he was getting paid to wear them, but everybody just... Pony is a Cockney slang for something as well, so it was thrown around at him quite a lot.
What were the boots you mentioned to me before the show? All black, the blacked out boots.
Pantofola? Yeah. It's Pantofola Dior or something like that, but it's definitely Pantofola, in an Italian make. Really, really soft leather moles. And the only reason I came across these is I was training with Ireland, and Duffer came down and had them on, and I remember looking at them. They were just black, totally blacked out, and I thought, well, are they Nike, Adidas, what are they? And he told me what they were, and the next day I went on Sports Direct and ordered myself a pair and trained in them for months. They were brilliant, but when it rained, they held the water in the leather. They became about 2 kilo weight. But yeah, training boots. I, as you get older, you start moving into training boots and being comfortable, and then match boots are a totally different thing.
Well, you're a man for changing boots regularly. John Terry talked about each half you would have a new pair of boots.
If I had a stinker in the first half, I might think about changing my boots. Just like I've said a million times how mentally weak I was. I would blame anything. I'd blame the crowd, blame the ball, blame the boots, blame anything other than myself. So yeah, I could easily change boots at half time.
Keith asked you a great question there. We were talking about our love of boots. We talked about it all day. There's a couple of other images we'll get to in a while. But for goalkeeper gloves, would you feel the same?
Absolutely, yeah. I used to be All Sports the whole way along, and like, they were brilliant. And then my fingers started breaking. I was wearing the Adidas, the finger safes.
Yeah.
So if you planned on not catching that on that day, they were brilliant because they didn't bend. Just like that, you'd be palming everything away. So on a wet day, you'd be getting great punches on them. But the All Sports were brilliant. And the old Roche back in the day, do you remember them? Peter Schmeichel's gloves.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Brilliant gloves.
So see the way players will go from studs to moles. Will you change your gloves compared to the weather?
If I decide before a game, this isn't a game for coming out and catching crosses, I'll get one that has a finger safe in it. You're getting decent punches on it. If you decided that's the game you're going to play that day, because it does, like, or something like, you can parry things away. You know, you're getting an extra bit of oomph on it when you're getting the bang away. So it just depends on the weather, really.
I remember the fingertips. I think that's fingertips. Late 90s, Shea Given had them.
Yeah, that's them. Fingertips.
They're the ones. Yeah.
You used to be able to take them out on individual fingers as well. So people, if you did a bad finger.
That's people would want to go and go locally because of these gloves. They were the big thing, like,
for fighting.
Massive. I was listening to the League of Ireland pod yesterday in preparation for this, and I wrote it down straight away because they were talking about goalkeepers. And Vinny actually mentioned your name as, you know, going through some of the great goalkeepers in the league. I was thinking to myself, who actually is the definitive best goalkeeper in the league at the moment? Is it Ed McGuinty? But you could argue,
I think,
like, balls as well,
like Luke Dennison, for what he's done at Drogheda.
He signed a new deal, didn't he?
Revelation. Like, for what he's, like, the saves he's making, how stable he's made them at the back. He's got a good defence in front of him. But I think for the evolution of a player, Ed McGuinty has just come on, because there's massive pressure. That's probably the most under the microscope position, is a Shamrock Rovers goalkeeper to take over from Leon and Alan Manison. Didn't quite work out for Leon, so the pressure was then on Ed to go and do something, and his performances in Europe in those qualifying games are outstanding. And just look at culminated last week in the penalty shootout, three saves.
He has a confidence about him.
Yeah, it's confidence and / arrogance, but you need to have that as a goalkeeper, because, like, you're commanding defenders in front of you who've been there for the last 4 years, and they smell weakness straight away. You show any weakness and they're not having you. I think that little bit of that seeped into Leon's game a little bit, and Ed just has a presence. He's massive as well. He's way bigger than he looks in real life. Like,
is he? Yeah.
Yeah, like, you just, when he's walking by, if you're doing the commentary or whatever, and he's walking by out onto the pitch, he's a big boy, but confident as well.
Were you verbal on the pitch?
Yeah, I had to be, I suppose, because I wasn't the most dominant in the box, so I had to organise people around me. I probably started off more dominant because people were looking at me going, it's a 5'10" goalkeeper. I was coming out for every corner, coming out for everything, and then slowly fell back a little bit. So you have to just organise them in front of you. But I'm a good defender, so it was easy enough.
You said to me before you liked the yappy goalkeeper.
Yeah.
It annoyed you, but you liked them.
Yeah, but like I say, it comes back to me being mentally weak again. So if centre half or a goalkeeper is shouting at me, it just keeps me tuned in to where he should be and where he should be going. But I think Brendan Clarke, for me, like, he's not the best goalkeeper in the league right now, but the longevity, how long he's been around, and Clark, I think he's about 52 now and still playing, so fair play to Clarkey. And Schlingerman, I was at where was I? Yeah, I can't remember where I was with Schlingerman. Was it Athlone? Yeah, Drogheda. And then I done a little bit of training at Athlone while he was there. I thought Schlingerman was a really good goalkeeper as well, and Baz obviously has a bit of a claim to that as well.
Full set of fixture list tonight in the Premier Division. So you have your old club, Keith, Drogheda going to Sligo, Derry against Shells, we have Cork City against Shamrock Rovers, Bowls against Waterford, and we have the game that we'll probably start on here, Pats against Galway. What do you make of Stephen Kenny's Pats? And you know what? I feel like I ask you that question once every month, and there's a slightly different answer every time. Yeah,
like, it's a brilliant result last week in the cup, but the performance as well, they were there for the taking, I think, Galway, and they just never got that second goal, never pushed on. And you look at the start of the year, the players they brought in, like, and the end of last season, you thought they're going to kick on now, and the same thing happens again. And I just think they've got to secure Europe now, whether that be through the Cup or through the league. And if they've hit a bit of form of late, but again, the performances aren't great, results are starting to come. That's all you wanted this time of the season again. But I think going into next year, they've got to hit the ground running, or there's going to be rumblings there.
There was, like, it started this season when we were doing our pre-season predictions with yourself and Owen. But, like, John Caulfield's Galway, like, they had a really good year last year, and they started all right this year, but it kind of very quickly, it didn't even go that badly. It was just, it went a bit average for them, didn't it? It's like they've lost a bit of their drive or something. I don't know what it is with Galway.
Yeah, they were playing so on the edge last year with their goal difference. Like, you can't go to another season with that goal difference barely in the positive. I think you're winning games 1-0. They suddenly turn to draws and now losses. And you can't legislate for losing Moses Dyer either. Like, he's still up there in the top scoring rank since he's left. Like, you've got Hickey, who was brilliant last year, isn't performing as well this year. The team just needs a refresh. At the back, conceding really poor goals, and it just needs a refresh, I think, at this stage.
Of course, Ollie Horgan as well. You know, I don't think we should underestimate how much that would hurt the Galway dressing room. And as Baz says, I think the Moses Dyer one, you can easily talk away why they've come off the boil in an attacking area, but I think defensively is what will hurt John Caulfield, because they've been so strong defensively and they've just let that go a little bit and they're starting to leak goals. A team that leaks goals and doesn't score an awful lot of goals, you're always going to be in trouble, and they feel like they're standing still, whereas Sligo, I know it's a bit disjointed from them as well, but they feel like they've got the momentum moving forward and they will feel like they'll be able to catch Galway, if not Waterford as well.
Jesus, their momentum could have been killed from last week, lads, what happened in the cup against Kerry. Like, that was remarkable. Like, we said here, Barry, pretty much this time last week exactly, saying wouldn't it be magic now if Kerry did something here? Yeah. And Owen Elding completes his hat-trick just after an hour to put Sligo 3-0 up against Kerry. There were some accounts online that were saying Sligo are into the semis, they can start celebrating. And
yeah, the account was one of them.
That's one of them, exactly. Yeah. And then 5 minutes later, the first of four goals for Kerry. Remarkable. Like, look, we should celebrate what they did under Colin Healy in that game.
Yeah.
But Russell must be fuming.
Oh, absolutely.
And fuming.
They've had that down through the last couple of years in the FA Cup as well, throwing away games against first division teams. And you just worry for them now, that does that affect league form? If they do drop into that playoff position, that's a one-off game. Is that the mentality problem there? Is it a one-off game that's the problem? And they're terrible. I've played in that game. That was a two-legged affair, that relegation promotion battle. They're horrible games to play in, especially as the Premier Division team. You're expected to go and win it. And when a team's coming up with like, obviously they'll come second or they win the playoff in the first division, they're coming up with momentum and you're the opposite coming down. So it's going to be really tough to get the boys going again, but they have been on a good run of form. They've got goal scorers in the team.
Drogheda, like, it's not too much heartbreak, is it, to lose in penalties to Shamrock Rovers, to lose their cup? Do you see it as too much of a distraction for them now for the rest of the league campaign? They've had a tumultuous year, to be fair, with what happened in Europe and all that.
They've thrown every distraction you can at them and they've bounced back from
it.
Like, losing players, their top scorer, and Douglas James Taylor, losing him, the European debacle, everything gone on, they've bounced back from it. And listen, they've got to a point now where losing to Shamrock Rovers in the penalty shootout is disappointing. That's incredible. Like, when you look at it last year and they were fighting relegation, like, now you're looking at losing to Shamrock Rovers in the penalty shootout as a disappointment. So I think they'll bounce back and they'll have a great chance of qualifying.
People
of Drogheda
just collapsed above us there. So elsewhere, we have Bowes against Waterford, like I was saying. Jesus, what a game last Friday night in the league. They only won league game, but like, that spoke on behalf of the whole league. 3-4, but like, a game that Bowes will watch back a million times again, won't they?
Brilliantly bad, isn't it? Like well, some
is, that,
goals
is, that, were, is that the summary of it for you? Brilliantly bad?
Some of the defending from Bowes is atrocious. But like, Derry were brilliant. And I've been hypocritical. I've been harsh on Derry, I think, this year, the way they've performed in those games where they need to go and get a win. But that's a massive win to go there. They score four goals as well. Really good goals. And just for Bowes, you think they're hitting a bit of form and then suddenly they throw in a performance like that and they were just so poor. Young Morton had a really poor game at the back, and isn't they're going to find it hard now over the next couple of weeks to try and stay in that pack, and you're kind of hoping that Rovers go on and win the cup from a Bowes point of view, which isn't always a nice thing to be cheering on Rovers from a Bowes fan's point of view.
That's huge. So Shamrock Rovers win the double, decide to come second in the league, get Europa League qualification.
And that fourth spot goes to whoever comes forward.
So it's massive,
it's massive.
Funny because you yourself reminded us last week that Rovers in the cup, not so good last few years.
Yeah, listen, the draw they've got this year, let's not like make too bounds about it. Like, they've got a couple of first division sides. Drogheda is a tough one away, but like, to get Kerry in the semi-final, no disrespect at home, you've got to be doing the business here and get to a final.
It's done and dusted. Is it a top of the league? Like, look, Rovers play Cork City this weekend. Cork City wrap bottom of the table. Rovers not quite running away with it, but they're 7 points clear and they have two games in hand against Derry. Obviously, it needs a capitulation of sorts from Stephen Bradley's side, but are Derry still dangerous enough to keep them honest, let's say?
I don't think so. I don't think their form is good enough. I don't think they can get a consistent run of three or four wins in a row to put real pressure on. And that's been the argument you put against them the last couple of seasons, that they've put no real pressure on Shamrock Rovers when they've had the chance to. Can they go? They've got a free run on it now, Derry, to go and do something. Rovers will look at this weekend and go, if we can get two wins this weekend, then that's a massive step towards it. Like, and I think they want to get it done as quick as they can going into these European games and obviously the FA Cup as well.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think it's been done and dusted for a while now.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think Rovers...
Is it a disappointing season?
Yeah, probably by the rest of the league. Rovers, you know, it's whatever they've done has been absolutely brilliant. We shouldn't take any shine off of them. But to be 7 points clear with two games in hand, They're just so strong in the semi-finals of the FAI Cup, and that word consistency, when you look at Derry, Pats, Bowes, they're just not consistent enough to go and wrestle against Shamrock Rovers. And you look at Bowes, Bowes have beaten Shamrock Rovers a handful of times this season, yet they're not top of the league. If you can go and beat Shamrock Rovers consistently, you should be top of the league. And the fact that they can't, it goes to show you they have the levels required, but they haven't got anywhere near the consistency. And there's an awful lot of players I like in the Bowes team. They've a lot of weapons with Devoy, Tierney, Clark and Rooney. 5 and 4 goals, all of them. So a lot of different weapons. But yeah, like in 5 games, they've lost 4 and drew 1. Mm. A defeat to Cork twice in the league and then in the cup and then a defeat to Sligo. So they're losing against teams that they shouldn't be losing against. Although I do think they're putting building blocks in place. Maybe this season's a bit too early for them. But I think Rovers' domestic record, they haven't lost a game of football since June the 23rd. And that was against Bowes. Unbelievable.
Yeah. There you go, that's the other side of Bowes, isn't it? Yeah, I remember that game actually. Yeah, it's like, is it a good thing ultimately that Ann Reynolds and his coaching staff committed, which is like anything beyond a year in the League of Ireland is significant, and it seems like they're backing him. Is it a good idea?
Yeah, it is at this time as well, because you need to tie down players. Yeah. I think we mentioned last week about it, like players that now have an opportunity when you're into your last, I think it's 6 months of your contract, you can go and talk to other clubs, and listen, that happens anyway in this league. To be managers tapping up players going around the league, but to have that solidity where you can go to a player and go, listen, I'm here for 3 years, so I want you here for 3 years. You look at the Dawson Devoy's that, like, coming towards the end of the year, could have potentially a Rovers come in and have a look at him.
Yeah,
you know, that's, you need to get those players tied down, and I think that's a massive step in doing it. And to be fair, like, they've turned things around since that Shamrock Rovers game. Half time he was gone, he was out the door, and they've turned things around.
Yeah, it is that's absolutely one of the most.
Sorry, can we talk about Alan Reynolds signing a new deal? What about Victor Pereira at Wolves signing
a new
deal?
Saw that, yeah.
It's so strange, isn't it? Like, they've doubled down and thought it's not going great. There's a new deal. So strange. Like, no. I know they probably think, let's just kill any sort of rumours, let the dressing room know that the manager has a bit of pull and he's calling the shots, but, you know,
yeah, you never know.
It's an area, like, 6 months where they're sacking him, isn't it?
You just don't know. He could have threatened to walk away. There could be a clause in his contract that if they get relegated, he's out the gap with a payoff or something. But so
they played 4 games in the Premier League. They haven't picked up a point. Mm-hmm. The manager threatens to walk, and he gets a new deal.
Maybe he's a great guy.
Great job, isn't it?
You know,
yeah, lovely bloke. Yeah.
Maybe the vibes are good, Keith. You know, maybe it just works. It's chemistry. So they're a full raft of fixtures tonight in the Premier Division. But as I look down here on the live document, lads, for our show that we all shared, they've been festooned here with comments about football boots. Ooh. That's what people want, like, you know. So Carl on YouTube says, I never remember Moulds as a kid in the DDSL. This is, presume the type of boot. Yeah, because you're on about conditions and all that, yeah. Oh, you know, studs versus Mouldies, yeah, because you'd be slipping away, you know. There's always lads who wore the wrong boots. Mm. And they'd be on, you. It was always the same fellas, wasn't it? They always picked the wrong boots to wear.
Yeah.
And you'd be on a counter-attack and they'd slip.
Well, only one shop that really sold boots in Dublin as well, down Camden Street as well. So, like, if you weren't ordering in, there's nowhere you could go the day of a game and buy boots. So, whatever you had, you were stuck with for the day.
Oh, yeah, that same website I got them from. The F50s, that website you mentioned
Sports
earlier.
Sports Direct. Yeah.
I used to live on that site.
There was a place next door to the George.
A little boot shop.
Yeah. I used to go in there with me dad. Yeah. Unbelievable. Used to get
it's gone,
the,
obviously, is it?
Yeah. It's gone a long time now, but used to, little obscure shop, go in there.
Love those shops,
the
you know? Yeah. Old shops. Bring the old shops back.
You do well now.
That's a minefield.
We go into business, will we?
Yeah. Go into Sports Direct, you don't know what.
Capitalism, Arthur says, my ear. That's what happened to it. The three lads here were going to, because, you know, John, we have John Mass on the show. See that later on. Live from Australia. Yeah. Former Premier League referee. Ran a vinyl record shop with his wife.
Back.
You know? So there's, if there's a passion project for us, you know, there's something there. I'd say it'll be a hassle, though, getting all the boots in, all that, different sizes and all that. Do you have a 9.5? No, I don't do half sizes. Yeah, probably that. The Nike Total 90s were classic, says Pass the Parcel.
Roberto Carlos.
Total 90s, yeah. So actually, we do have an image of Total 90s that Arthur sent on to me yesterday. It's a red and white one here, right? So hopefully this will come up on screen. But I know of, anyway. Yeah, see this one, right?
Are they a pair of futsals?
No, do you know what this is, right? That's a picture sent on, right? They were selling them in Brown Thomas as actual footwear that you can wear out and about.
Now?
Now. This is the other day.
Wow.
Arthur has them on there. So it's red and white. So people who can't see this, that you know those Total 90s, they were the second iteration of Total 90s. The first one was the stripe. So I don't know if Pasta Parsons, they're talking about, you know, the first one, Roberto Carlos, like you say, there was a kind of a narrowish stripe, but this was the other one where it was like
the narrow stripe
butter.
Was better, wasn't it?
Narrow stripe was unbelievable.
It had a bit of padding as well, so you really leather the ball.
Had a bit of something about it, you know. But you can buy them as runners.
Do you remember the Force Predators with the bumps on the toes?
I'm glad you said that, because that's the other image we have this morning. Show it up there, Jojo, if you can. This is the Predators with the red tongue and the white. Now, they're the second, I think the second version of them, possibly third version of them. They're 2002.
Yeah.
I can never afford them. I never got them.
I couldn't wear them gold, could I?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, goalkeepers and flashy boots.
No, you're just asking for trouble. You make a mistake. Like, the first thing a manager says, what do you wear? Not too disgusting.
But that's gone. No, there's no such thing as flashy boots, because everyone wears all sorts of colours.
I think in the academies in England, you're still at a certain age, you've got to wear black boots that sort of stuff.
The New Zealand rugby team, black boots.
Yeah.
All of them. Yeah.
They're the all blacks, aren't they? Like,
No flashy, like no individualism. I love those boots. I can never afford them.
You see the Force Preds, my granddad and the Cassidys all went to Ibiza, and they took my older brother Martin with them. They couldn't take me, so he said, what we'll do for you is we'll bring you uptown and buy a pair of boots. And it was them Predators I got.
They bought me off with a pair of
boots instead of going to Ibiza.
Do you know what, you hardly remember the pair of boots you were wearing in your first team debut in England?
No, I don't.
I love all that. Would you
Mundials, the black, the,
you were Mundials, were you? Yeah.
Pretty sure I was,
We've loads here, actually. Jesus. Puma V1.08 Circle 0809. Love them. Flying Hellfish. I love how specific you are there, Flying Hellfish. I can't remember them now, but I love that. I love how specific that is. So much you never see anymore. Reebok or Fila?
Reebok,
Reebok, right? Yeah. Reebok, Bolton, we're all over Reebok. So Reebok Stadium, Reebok there. Roy Keane with Theodora.
Yeah.
And Fila used to sponsor West Ham. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And Oddy Cattle. Do you remember Oddy Cattle for Cork City? One of my first heroes. I think he wore Fila's all the time.
Pair of Fila's?
Yeah, F. Just F. Simple
I didn't
F.
even know Fila did football boots, to be honest.
Dermot, I think this is the icon himself, DK, says, got the original Predators in 1994. They were a business. That's what you're talking about there. Oh, yeah, the very original
Force
ones.
Under the bump.
Because the ones before, the ones I just showed there, the Adidas stripes went all the way to the back.
Yeah.
They're about 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
I can never afford Preds like
that. Do you remember the white ones that had the Champions League ball on the heel?
Oh, yeah.
David Beckham.
Oh, yeah.
I had a brilliant Christmas one year where Santi, they told me Santi.
Were they in again?
Yeah, no. Christmas at home.
There's none of them Kevin boots. McAllister Santi here. Can't get them. And I opened up my football boots on Christmas Day, and they were them boots. So I was totally taken back by it. And that's the little memory with them boots. Running up and down the carpet stairs trying to get them broken.
Remember
standing in the bath? Remember a couple of pairs of
socks? The
catwalk in the shop, up and down, up and down. And then the person working there would like plant their thumb into your toilet. Does that fit? Does it?
Yeah.
It's real aggressive.
Yeah.
I asked you, could you bring in the boots? But you gave all your boots away to your brother.
I wouldn't say gave them away. They were taken. Yeah, my brothers just took everything. There was a Robbie Keane jersey I have, and I never swapped jerseys, but I remember warming up as Blackburn were playing Liverpool, and Benny McCarthy was warming up with me, and Robbie came out, and I remember looking at Robbie. I hadn't played for Ireland at this point, so I didn't know him, and I looked at him and Benny started hugging.
Yeah.
I thought they must know each other, and I said, Benny, will you get me his jersey? And he got it for me straight away. And it wasn't for me, it was for my little brother Graham. But Graham then started wearing it out the five-a-sides and all. But yeah, it's still knocking around the house, but I couldn't get it in time for this morning.
Who was the goalkeeper that you were closest with?
The goalkeeper?
Was there always a separation in the squads? I like playing football myself, there was always slightly a bit, but I imagine when you're actually doing it properly.
Well, like, we've got half an hour, kind of 40 minutes to ourselves in the morning. So we're out before them, and we're probably staying out after them. And you have to kind of hour in with the team. They always thought we were lunatics anyway, kept us over to the side, didn't they?
Yeah,
all the players would be jealous because they'd be playing two touch while we were warming up.
See, this is what we're talking about. This is the divide between the two.
Yeah. I always got that with yourself and Owen as well. Owen here, he'd be like, but goalkeeper, and then you'd be back, with players.
Yeah, that's just centre half.
Centre half, then, goalkeeper. There's always a tension there, always.
Yeah.
Carlino, live from the Philippines, says, I had high tech, can't remember what version. They were great in dry weather, terrible in the rain. Like a lake in my socks. That's what you were saying. Yeah. 1987, we're going back here with David on YouTube. My first boots were Mitra Scorpion, bought in a sports shop on Francis Street in Dublin. Great memories. You're the dubs.
Is that the mitre?
No idea.
Mitre balls. Do you remember them? The Premiership football.
Oh, I loved that. Oh, man.
See Rashford shot last night. The ball doesn't move at all in the air.
That's next week. Arthur says in the thing with the footballs. I start welling up now. Oh, my God.
I used to love crossing them mitre balls. Take people's eyebrows off the head as you cross the
ball. We have Stephen on YouTube saying, I don't know if this is even a sentence. Hits bought from the stalls in Finglas West in the 80s, they melted in the sun. Hits. That feels, I don't know what that is. H-I-T-Z. Stephen, please elaborate. We'd love to know. Back in the early 90s, in my teens, playing for drums, Puma Kings were the Dans.
Oh, yeah.
My dad always tried to get me into Puma Kings with that big white floppy tongue knocking around.
If you wore Puma Kings
in the DDSL, people just thought, here's an enforcer.
Yeah. Midfield general.
The Soccer Shop is what Terry on YouTube said it was called.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I've lost my focus now because of this. Dixon on YouTube says, I bought a lovely Fiorentina jersey there. Fiorentina Nintendo.
It's the purple one. Do you remember the old Kappa jerseys that was bent onto tight? You could wear it on a night out, just the Italian jersey. Gorgeous. Blue and white.
On an anniversary, it was so nice. You wanted it.
Yeah, a Blackburn were sponsored by Kappa when I first went.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was skinny, so you could wear them skin tight stuff.
If you were a bit overweight, they'd expose you.
Yeah, the muffin top would be out on full display.
Blackburn and Auxerre, the French side, when they had Philippe Mexès. Remember him? And Jibril Cissé. I think of is Lorenzo Amoruso. In that Kappa jersey with Blackburn.
Looked great in it, didn't he?
You were with Amoruso.
Yeah, I was there. All the Rangers boys. Souness brought a lot of the Tugoi, Barry Ferguson.
What was Tugoi like? Was he cool?
Legend. Absolutely legend.
He's a cool guy.
The most laid back, talented man. Like, does it's everything
smoker,
that he should
he?
Do. Big smoker. Drank Coca-Cola, full fat Coke. Like, there was no Coke Zero, no Diet Coke. I loved him.
Class.
Cheated in bleep tests, but his talent was unbelievable.
Yeah, he looked very likable.
Yeah, he was. He was hilarious.
Colin, what was the shop that sold all sorts of jerseys in Cork City? Football Crazy. So I think that Dixon asked me this, right? This when you were talking about that shop next in George Street, I was straight back to Cork and Football Crazy, and it was a man, right? And he had like mad curly hair. He looked like a professor. He was a professor of football retro jerseys, right, with glasses, and he had a son working there, his adult son, and it would be the most random collection of jerseys. Like, you'd have the Auxerre jersey, PlayStation 2, and then besides that, you'd have the Drogheda away jersey from 1983. There was no rhyme or reason to anything at all. You never asked the question, where'd you get the jerseys from? Yeah. Never asked that. It was all just the silently agreed upon. Sorry, what were you saying?
Peg still on them, somebody's
mind. Someone else's one, yeah, totally. Football Crazy, Alpha Interactions comes in and says as well, I used to go to the New Balance shop of my dad in Exchequer Street and get the Brian Robson boots, says Joe on YouTube.
Brian Robson? There's no 80. Boots jumping out of me there. What did
Yeah, I don't know. I presume in the 80s when he was in his pump. He must have been sponsored by something. So we have this thing called Keith Friday now, Barry. So Keith Tracy turns into Keith Friday, right? We have all these...
been called worse.
All these things that we talk about. And one of them was like, who's the most underappreciated player in your mind, you know? I'm not talking about like Dennis Earn, like he's really underrated. Like, no, just like a really good player, but you thought he was even better than that. But don't mind all that, because Keith wants to go the other way. He was like overrated players, right? So he gave us Chef Kikuchi as a little teaser at the start of the show. Mm. Do you want to elaborate? Any other examples?
Yeah, I have other examples.
Yeah, I have loads of them.
And this is one. Like, again, these people have gone on to have much better careers than I and you know, achieved a lot more than I did. But Danny Simpson was one that came to Blackburn from Manchester United. And
he was the right back for Leicester when they won the league.
He won the Premier League. And honestly, we used to do attack v defence all the time, and I'd be left wing, he'd be right back, and it was handy all the time. And it wasn't just me that would come off and think, Simo's not that good, you know, coming from United, big reputation, but look, he's gone on to win the Premier League. He's obviously outweighed everything I did, but I always felt it fairly easy, as did a lot of wingers against Danny Simpson.
Can you talk me through that now, right? So if you ran into Danny, how would that go?
We would have said this stuff to his face. I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, if we were doing attack for defence, I'd be saying, this is comfortable.
You know, and what he presumably backed himself.
He backed himself. He'd probably get a little bit physical and try and leave a bit on me, but you know, you're going to get that in a game, so it wouldn't bother me.
So why did it work at Leicester that year?
I think it just all clicked, didn't it? I think the whole team, but that Leicester team with Vardy and Mahrez and Drinkwater, it wasn't a bad Leicester team, but to go on and win the Premier League, it'll never happen again, will it?
It's funny, Barry, like, because we've all grown up with players, and like, you were probably the player that we're talking about. It's like, there was always one fella who was unbelievable, and you're like, this guy's definitely going to make it. And the vast majority don't. You're one of the exceptions that actually do. But then if you think of like Danny Simpson winning the league with Leicester, it's like, how did he get to that level? And then a fella that we would have bought known growing up didn't even play football professionally. Like, it's mad how it happens, isn't it? The different levels.
It's just who's watching at the right time as well. Mm. Trial games where you play well. Like, you talk about, we talked about last week about Matt Doherty.
Yeah.
Like, we were playing for Bows on a Friday night, and we played Wolves in a friendly on the Saturday morning. None of us had played Friday night, played in it. And Matt Doherty was nowhere near the first team, played the game against Wolves and did all right on I think he was playing right back at the time. And Mick McCarthy said to Pat, what's the story with him? And he's like, he's a young lad coming through. He's like, we'll bring him over for a week's trial.
Yeah.
Get the deal over. Like, and we're all sitting in the stand going, hell, Pat, we want to play the game. Like, it's just luck at some stage.
Like, even Ian Wright talked about it. Ian Wright had a job working in a factory. Yeah. Jimmy Vardy was working in a factory and all that. And it just happened for them late in life.
So it can be difficult. I trained with Harry Maguire at Sheffield United when he was a young kid. He came up and trained with the first team, and he was a little bit heavy. He didn't look mobile. And you're thinking, this lad's not going to do much. And he obviously gone on to have a brilliant career. There was so many. Phil Jones at Blackburn, he came up and trained with the first team, and I thought, he hasn't got an awful lot about him, but my God, the careers they've gone on to have, it's a good thing I'm not a scout.
Yeah. Well, you were a coach at Pats, so you must have seen, you've seen stuff in fellas that you thought, yeah, there's something there.
Oh yeah. I've seen a lot. When I've seen young Mason Mealy and Michael Noonan before he went over to Shamrock Rovers, you look at them and it's instant. It's a couple of touches, you know, and they have reputations. Before you even see them, people are saying, you're going to really like this lad, Keith, and you start to get impressions of them. But yeah, Michael and Mason really stood out early.
So they stood out early. If you saw a goalkeeper now, would you be able to tell quickly, or does it take a while?
I saw one years ago, Loretto Park, beside Nuckroff, Gavin DeZunu. I was coaching Leicester Celtic. Soon, like a goalkeeper's football camp, and then this young lad was in it, did well, and his mum asked, can he do one-on-one sessions?
Yeah.
Yeah, grand. Went down to it, and my God, it was unbelievable.
What was it now? Tell me.
Just basics were perfect. I think he was 10, not even 10 at the stage, like, and he was a big lad as well, but all his basics were perfect, and I was going, right, like, I had a session set out, like, I need to throw that away and do something else, like, so just off the cuff with him. But then he went to Rovers a couple, like, I think it was a year or two later, but he just exceptional at that age. I remember going home to be missing, going, I need to become an agent here, I need to sign this kid and make some money
that
off
good.
He used to make some money off me. He was that good, like, he was incredible.
Because it's so, a goalkeeper is fascinating to me because you can't be that proactive. Like, Mason Mealy and Mike Noonan get the ball, they're in control. It's almost like a partnership with the opposition in a weird way with the goalkeeper. Yeah. Like, you know, the opposition needs to take a certain shot for you to show off about how good you are, like.
Yeah, well, I just think if you have the basics done right.
The basics, like, literally catching and
perfect.
Kicking.
Like, his hands were perfect, his kicking was perfect, like, gathering up balls into his midriff, nothing bounced back off, man. You're going for a kid.
That's huge.
He was just coming from an amateur team in Leicester Celtic underage. Like, he was phenomenal.
Class.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Any other players, Keith?
Overrated players? Elhadj Diouf.
Yeah. I could see that.
There's probably a little bit of a personal swipe there as well. I wasn't too close with Elhadj. He was a bit of a strange character at the best
of
times. But
you hear so much about him. What was it about him?
His personality. It's the main thing, to be honest.
Was there an arrogance or something? Or
Massive arrogance. But he came from, I think it was Bolton into Blackburn. Sam Allardyce brought him, and things started to go a little bit south for him, and he went up to Rangers on loan.
I remember that, yeah.
And the Scottish season had finished 2 weeks before the Premier League had finished, and he'd won the SBL with Rangers. The day after his loan finished, he came into Blackburn with the medal around his neck. And we're in the middle of a relegation battle. We're all looking at him going, Doofy, like, really, mate? Like, that's Mickey Mouse stuff. Get out of here. And yeah, I always thought he slowed down the play when you're attacking and counter-attacking. He would get it and get into battles with people. But Sam Allardyce loved him. And a talented boy, but I don't think he was quite as good as people thought he was.
The slowing down play part is interesting.
And he had a really good World Cup. That's where it all stemmed from.
This goes back to the timing thing, isn't it? So Senegal 2002 was amazing. It was like, it's vivid memories of that. Kean McPhillips, who we talked about at the start of the show, was born. That makes us sick. He's only 23. But like Senegal in that first game against France, and I was looking back, we were doing something roughly associated with it. I was looking back at the starting 11 for Senegal, and it was like a good half of them went on to have really good careers. And Diouf did have, I mean, I suppose in the grand scheme of things, he had a good career, but he got that Liverpool move straight away off that, didn't he? Off that World Cup.
Yeah, when he at Bolton, Blackburn, Liverpool, you're thinking of a certain standard. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's a bad player, but yeah. I just thought the expectations of him were a little bit higher than the reality.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm asking about. Yeah, not necessarily bad players, just ones that are like, oh, you didn't really get it. Do you know, so you have Gucci. Okay, well, that's maybe a different argument, but Simpson wins the Premier League, so you still said about him. Jough, anyone else?
Do you remember Karol Poborski?
Oh, yeah.
I remember the game he had, and it was the Euros in the
Euro 96. He had that scooped goal again. Was it against Portugal?
Yeah, and St. Liverpool were after him. Everyone was after
United.
I was buzzing United got him and then went on to do
I just think because he played in Beckham's position, she was never going to take Beckham's place.
Yeah.
You thought he might be another Kanchelskis just compared to the side, like, but.
So, is that it for your players?
That's it, yeah. I'm going to stop nailing people.
You've made enough enemies today.
What about the other side? So, I was saying the underappreciated player. So, Arthur has his... I can save it for when Arthur comes back in, but what's yours?
Underrated players.
Yeah.
Like, so your John McGinn types. I think John McGinn is one of the most underrated players in the Premier League. I think he's one of these centre midfielders that can go and attack and he can come and do the dirty work as well. But in terms of people I've played with that are underrated... Callum Davidson, the Scottish left back.
Callum Davidson, Leicester. Yeah, very, very vague.
But he was older when I got into the Preston team, but he was the left back, and some of the little pointers he used to give me out possession, like Keith, he was so good. Just let me cheat. He's just Keith, you stand on the halfway line, let them double up on me, and when we win it, you just go and hurt them. And like for a young lad to be told, let them double up on me, I'll deal with it. I was thinking that's absolutely brilliant. Stephen Warnock. At Blackburn.
Yeah.
And the one that was like, I'll deal with this, Keith. You go and cheat all you want. And players that highlighted my attributes, Keith can't really defend, but if I can go and let them double up on me, Keith will hurt them going the other way. So,
how do you return the favour? Just by doing the business on the ball?
Yeah, my thing is then to go and get an assist or a goal. Brett Emerton. Remember the Australian?
Oh, yeah.
He was, what an athlete he was. Like, I used to get injured quite a lot with my hamstrings when I was younger. And you'd be doing these running sessions and there'd be times on it and it was always Brett. Brett has the best running stats. Brett has this, Brett has that. He was an unbelievable player as well.
Right midfield?
Right winger, yeah, but could play inside, could do a little bit of everything. Dean Marnie, Burnley.
He played for Spurs and Hull.
He started off at Spurs, Cockney boy, but Dino was one of those players. When I played with him, I was absolutely delighted because he used to just chip balls over the top for me and
love
just
that.
So composed.
I love this though. This is exactly what I want.
Into nitty-gritty.
So, Brett Emery, they signed him from Feyenoord, wasn't he? He was in Dutch football when he went to Blackburn. I think he was. It was highly enough rated. But yeah, that's a really good example of a fella.
Lucas Neal as well. We had a couple of Australians.
He went on to West Ham, was it?
Yeah,
he was linked to Liverpool.
When Lucas was at Blackburn, I went and trained with the first team and he nailed me. He absolutely nailed me. And after the training session, he came to me and said, look, the gaffer sort of wanted to see how you'd react with something a little bit physical. Because I think I was only 16 at the time. But then we fast forward a couple of years and I'm playing in Upton Park. Lucas is playing right back and Bellamy is playing up front for West Ham, and the ball comes to me and I turn and Lucas drops off, doesn't come and get tight, and Bellamy absolutely mortars him. He said, go and get tight him, what are you afraid of that pikey for? And as soon as he dropped off, I thought, lovely, he's afraid of me.
Yeah.
Do you have any goalkeeper jerseys or memorabilia from your playing days that you have handy?
Yeah.
I might get you to bring it in.
Yeah, I thought I was going to get Iker Casillas. Remember we played Real Madrid that time.
Ah,
I was
going to
get that. They won the World Cup just before in the summer, so they didn't travel. I got Dudex in that game. Brad Friedel's couple down through the years. Kasper Schmeichel's.
Friedel at Blackburn, is it?
Friedel Villa.
Villa.
Yeah. A couple of good ones down through the years, yeah.
We have to go, unfortunately. It's very, very upsetting.
It's nice chat, isn't it? Just rolls off the tongue.
It's so nice, this, you know. But we'll get back to other stuff. So we'll do. We'll do our favourite matches another time.
Yeah.
And we'll go back to this. But in the meantime, Barry Murphy, thanks a million for coming in. As always, brilliant stuff.